All right. Welcome back, everyone. When we'd last left our adventurers, they had begun some time of planning. They went out, spoke with the people, fed some of them, helped bring some of them back to a place where they could stand on their own two feet, and began to slowly combine them with a phrase, stronger together, to help the people of Old Corvosa realize that not everything is lost. Together they can rise above their station, come back to where things used to be, and possibly even live the lives that they used to before the whole world went topsy-turvy. During this time, the group of adventurers also went and spoke with Glorio Arconas, who, true to his word, came down to the people of Old Corvosa, shook hands, and helped them out how best he could. Though his help came with an interesting caveat. The people that he spoke with seemed to gain an additional voice in their heads. A voice that seemed to drive them to greater works, to being successful. And although the group couldn't find anything wrong with helping people out of their squalor, this slightly unnerved them. At least, ever so slightly. Speaking with Glorio and still finding nothing overtly troubling with his words, he bade them farewell and promised that he would continue to aid the people, and he would also potentially be watching from afar as to what would be happening with the mad emperor of Old Corvosa. From here, the group decided to take a visit to the emperor himself and invite him to this party for his own grandeur. Going there, he made a few inquiries, and upon hearing the suggestion that he would have the means of disposing with the participants as he saw fit, he decided that this would be a good time to bring the tall knife. Realizing that the stakes of their plan had suddenly been raised, as the loser, if things didn't go as planned, might suddenly find themselves a few pounds lighter above the shoulders, he decided that this would be a good time to talk amongst all of themselves and finish the planning. They all came together, and Shaq actually made a suggestion. He had a favor from Leori, a interesting cleric that they had encountered earlier before, and he decided that this would be a good time to call that favor in. They knew from experiencing the Emperor's magic that his arcane ways seemed to require music, song, and with quick thinking, realizing that a song of silence, or a spell of silence, would wreak havoc on the Emperor's preparation and his plans, Shaq decided that this would be the favor or boon that he would ask for. And here, the party decided to get some rest before the final day began. And this is where we begin. Rutha, you awaken to the faint, almost a dying light of the sun, filtering in through the ever-perpetual fog of Old Corvosa, shining in, and though you are more familiar with the light of your lady patron, the Lady of the Moon, the light of the sun is just as welcome. You arise from your bed, slightly sore, as you've been having quite a few long days and aren't quite used to sleeping on the thin cot that Salvatore has been able to offer you. But rest, however unfitful it might have been, has been found. And you'll awaken in the morning. What do you do?
Well, after she has risen from her bed and prepared her armor, gotten some spells ready to go, she's going to throw up a prayer. On this new morning, my lady, I ask simply for your presence. In each decision that I make, may it be one that weighs your will, that seeks the best, that does good in all, does not falter from the path, but instead shows mercy where it can be, saves lives where it cannot. She'll rise, strap on her sword, shield ready, and prepare to head out. I believe I had a question or two about some ideas I had had. Right. Although she'll discuss them with the group once they're downstairs, I believe.
All right, that actually makes a lot of sense, as today is the day.
Yes.
As you begin to make your way downstairs, you hear there's a bit of rustling, and as you make it down the stairs, you see Salvatore is already awake and says, "Hey, welcome. Good morning. I'm assuming you're waiting for breakfast. We have some cold beer cheese soup for breakfast. That's really all I've got."
I had not presumed for any preparation, but anything is better than nothing. She'll reach around and let's see. I'm not sure if she has any way to start a fire. Doesn't need to worry about magic at the moment. You can heat it back up and serve some for breakfast, certainly. It's quite good after the fact. Having let the flavors marry overnight, it should be quite tasty all the same.
Excellent. And, you know, aged beer cheese soup can be good as well.
Hmm, exactly.
Salvatore says, "Sure, do you want me to wake up the rest of your friends, or would you like to?"
I believe I will set about warming this, preparing it, and if I know them, smell itself on to help take care of some of that.
All right, I trust you. And thanks again for everything.
You're most welcome.
This is to be, and he looks down at the half-empty pot. This is to be my last meal. I'm glad I shared it with you people.
There is something special in the joy of food. And every day could be our last day. That's something not to forget either. Each moment is worth the attention we give it. And if all goes as it should, you will end this day better off than you have been in many days. So, it does us no good to wait and worry. We'll do what we can to make our lives better, one step at a time. She keeps on stirring the soup, and I'm assuming she's got some flint and steel in her pack, so she'll just make sure that it's getting nice and warmed up. If you'll hand me that bread, we can warm it as well, and those smells together should do the job.
Of course. And Rutha, make a diplomacy check. See how much you raise his spirits.
Okay.
Thirty-nine. For a person who has a death threat over his head and is on the last possible day of what he assumes is his life before he is to be executed by a mad emperor, he listens to your words, looks you in the eye and says, "Thank you, that really does mean a lot." And you see he actually turns away, and as he does, you see he has one of the very first smiles that you've ever seen on his face. It's almost like a burden has been lifted from his shoulders. And a little bit of light seems to shine into his life.
Awesome. She'll smile and wordlessly thank Harry and Rude.
And you can feel the almost pale shimmer of moonlight on your skin. That you've come to recognize as Arion Road's pleasure. All right. As the soup begins to warm and the bread begins to heat, as you mentioned, the slowly drifting, wafting smell begins to make its way throughout the house. And Sindar, I believe it would be Shaq. Shaq would be the next one to awaken to the smell of beer, cheese, and bread early in the morning.
All right, I've heard of breakfast for dinner, but dinner for breakfast sounds even better. Let's see what's going on.
All right, and you make your way out, and Druth is already there, stirring the pot. You see Salvatore is actually over in the corner, and somehow he seems to have found a carrot. But he is happily chopping it, preparing to add it to the soup. And he says, good morning, Shaq.
Wait, don't put that in the soup, please.
You see, he stops, looks around, and then finds Cone, and says, he looks at Cone for a moment and says, I can arrange that, yes. And he stops chopping it, puts the board, and slides it over to the side for you, Cone. He says, you're so quiet. It's hard to hear you at times.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Alright, well, that's three. I'll go see if I can wake up some of the others. And he goes and makes his way and raps on Sindar's door and says, Sindar, breakfast will be ready in a moment or two.
Alright, I'll be down in a few. Got a little bit more preparation to do first.
Wizards. But he's still smiling, still in a good mood, and he makes his way down to Tanis. Tanis, he knocks on your door, very quickly checking to see if your pet dragon is anywhere nearby. And not seeing Mukan immediately, knocks on the door and says, Tanis, are you awake?
Yes, I'm up. Give me just a minute.
You have it.
And she, there's a sound of some scuffling as she's hurrying up to finish what she was working on.
All right, it says, you have your minutes, but can't promise breakfast will last that long. It's bear cheese soup. And you hear...
Okay, I'll be quick.
And you hear the sound of his footsteps slowly drawing away from your door. And he returns to the rest of the group. And says, friends for a meal. I said... Can't ask for anything better. And he begins to pull out some bowls. Old, cracked, dusty bowls. He doesn't seem to get quite as many visitors as you would expect. Well, maybe just about as many visitors as you would expect. As he begins to set them out for each and every one of you.
Shaq is trying to see if he can sneak a taste of the soup bowl before it's set out.
Make a sleight of hand check.
Not my best thing. I'm not trained in it, but let's see what happens. Where is it? That's a 19.
19? Yeah, you managed to very slyly take your ogre hook, slide it behind your back, and prick a little piece of bread. And deftly spinning around, dip the piece of bread on the end of your ogre hook into the soup. Before pulling it out, turning back, and it's almost as if nothing had happened. Actually, just to be on the safe side, Rutha, I need you to make a perception check.
Is it a total 24?
24, okay. Shaq, you were like, that was the smoothest move I have ever made. Ever. But as you turn around and begin to pull it off your hook, you see that Rutha is looking straight at you.
I give the biggest, widest, orcish smile I have ever given in my life. And I continue to eat. I proceed to eat the bread.
Rutha raises an eyebrow, looks amused, and just continues feeding everyone.
Okay. And Tennis, whenever you're ready, let me know when you would like to join the rest of the group.
Yeah, Tennis is ready. So she comes down, and she is dressed up for the occasion, considering that you guys are planning to throw this party for the people of the area and raise their spirits. And she's actually wearing the same gown that she wore a long time ago for a reception by the queen in their honor once upon a time. So she comes down. She also has her bag that she is kind of carrying over one shoulder, but she is definitely dressed up more than you would normally see her.
And do you watch as Salvatore Benson says, well, you look nice.
Well, hopefully the people are encouraged by all of this. We have a lot to do today. I have a few things that I thought I should give to the rest of you. Just since I don't think I'm going to be able to stay for all of it. And she will go up to the table, but she's going to get into her bag and pull out a few things. The first one she pulls out is a wand, and she's going to say, this is a wand of healing. It cures moderate wounds, and it's never been used. So, is there anyone here that would like to take it?
Salvatore raises his hand immediately.
Someone was... Are you going to be fighting?
Are you going to be with us? Yeah.
I mean...
Can you even use that?
Well... No, but, and you look, he looks, his eyes are very wide, as he at least knows what this is. It says, I could do a lot of good if I sold that. And you realize that this wand, for what it would cost or what he could sell it for, he could live well for the remainder of his days.
I think... Salvatore, today might have more important things that this wand could be used for. But if you think you might need to use it for yourself, maybe you should stay close to whoever's holding it.
See, he, as you say that today particularly this wand has more use, do you see his eyes? They still have the luster that they did before, but they seem to drop as if he remembers, oh yeah, selling it tomorrow doesn't do me any good if I'm dead today. Got it. I will leave that to you, then. And he sits back and goes back to eating his dry bread.
Wait, how did he get any soup?
He hasn't had any soup yet. He's waiting for you guys to eat first.
Well, Rutha will notice this, I'm assuming, and take him some soup.
Thank you. He's just, and you realize he was just trying to be a good host.
So, anyway, the wand is here. That's something that you might be able to use. I've also got, Rutha, I don't know if you would be interested, but I've got a lot of use out of this circlet, and it kind of helps with calming people's nerves. It's a circlet of persuasion, and you might need it. I don't know. I just was thinking about it and trying to figure out what I could do to help you guys.
Ruth is genuinely moved by the idea, because Janice has been wearing that circlet for a long time, yeah? She'll kneel and accept the circlet. Let's see. Game mechanics-wise, is the circlet a headband item or a head item?
Headband.
No, it is a head item.
Really?
Yes, okay. It is a head item, so you can wear it with a headband of Alluring Charisma.
Okay. Then she will accept it. She will handle it and move it up to her head as it resizes itself, as the magical items tend to do.
And it will give you a +3 competence bonus on all charisma-based checks.
Yeah, I had already written it down because we talked about this last time. It's already on my sheet. That'll work. Excellent.
So Tanis looks at it and just smiles and says, "Yeah, I think that'll help."
I will need all the help that I can get if today is to go as I hope it will. And I suppose I should ask, what do you plan on doing during the excitement, the festivities here? What will you be doing?
And Tanis immediately looks a little downcast and dejected. And says, "Well, I've done a lot of thinking about it, and I think Mukan was right. If I'm there, I don't think that I can resist if he gives me a command. I think I would have to obey it or suffer the contract. So I think I'm going to be there for the first part. But
I
use the other one. Can you hear me?
Welcome back.
Okay, thank you. So I'll be there for the first part and try to do what I can with the people. But maybe you should give me a signal when it's time to go." And she pulls out another wand that she had just kind of tucked in under some of the skirts in her dress. Says, "Then I'll use this wand, and I should be able to get away."
I think Ruth is less concerned about what spell contained in the wand. She's more relieved that Tanis has a plan to take care of herself. She'll place a big hand on Tanis's tiny shoulders and bring her in for a hug. "We know that you are with us in spirit. We know we would not have come this far without you. You'll be freed soon."
I'm personally glad to have my head right now.
And Tanis laughs a little bit at that. "Well, I hope today goes well, or, you know, we may not all have our heads, right?" And then she thinks better of the comment and is like, but I mean, today's going to go really good. So
I have utmost confidence that it will.
When you say we all might all not have our heads, Salvatore says, hear, hear!
Shaq holds back a snicker.
And the bread falls off the table and thumps to the ground and rolls away ominously.
Bread's already gone, bro.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you got the whole bread. Very well. Okay. So just to be very clear, Rutha stands up, straightens a bit, and looks to Shaq. Your request, Leori, was for the...
You see, Salvatore stands up. Is everyone allowed to be here for this discussion?
Yeah, Shaq clears his throat.
Yes. I'm aware. Alright, sure.
Tanis, stand up.
Tanis, sorry.
Say, I guess I'll go outside then.
No.
I want to talk. I get.
I'll ask the question after you're. Once you're ready to go. That's the important thing here.
Players, no, it's okay. I'm. it's okay. I'm not really that hungry this morning anyway. And there's going to be lots of food. And lots of ale. I bought a lot of it. So don't get drunk. And she's going to go outside to go find Mukan.
Before she leaves, she's going to ask if does Tanis carry any kind of actual like weapon item of any kind?
She does. She carries a letter opener with her temple's seal kind of printed.
Okay.
And serves as a dagger for her.
Sure.
She also carries a slightly more dagger-like silver dagger, which is probably her best weapon that she has.
Okay. Well, Ruth has got a masterwork silver dagger that she's just kind of carried around on her side this whole time. She'll pass that one along. Any advantage will help. And this would certainly serve you better than it will serve me. She'll pass that along and just kind of thank her one more time with a glance and a nod. Be safe, my friend.
Thank you, Rutha. And you guys be safe, too. Right. And she will go.
As you make your way up to the door, Tanis, you reach your way up the doorknob. And as you begin to reach for it, you hear three knocks on the other side. And you look back to your friends, and Salvatore says, "Were you expecting someone?"
Tanis will communicate with Mukan, who has telepathy, because, you know, he's a pseudo-dragon build. And she's just going to ask him, "Who's at the door?" And Mukan's just been hanging out wherever he slept, up on the roof, you know, kind of watching over the house. Can he see the door from his position?
Okay.
If you want, I can roll a stealth for him. Okay. Yeah, he would have stealthed the night before. So let me do that for him. Oh yeah, this should not be a problem for him at all. That is a natural 13. And his stealth so that is a 32 stealth for him.
32 stealth, not bad at all. He makes his way over quietly across the rooftops, shifting from misty roof to misty roof, and he manages to almost seem to dull the glint of his silver scales as he begins to make his way over to the building that you reside in. And there is someone at the door. Someone who seems to be cloaked, dressed against the chill in the air. He seems to be standing in front of the door, expectantly. Hard to tell. A person is wearing a dark cloak.
Guys, it's somebody that Mukan hasn't seen before. Or at least, they're in a heavy cloak. But they seem to want to come in quickly.
Can Ruth the detectable, if she hasn't seen the person on the other side of the door?
You have to see the individual.
Okay. Is there a peephole on the door?
Not in this one.
Okay.
Tanis is going to go ahead, and as soon as she feels like everybody is aware, she's going to open the door.
All right. Morel, you have been searching for your aid, Blackjack, for quite some time. He disappeared a few days ago. You knew that he disappeared, but his things had stayed where they were, so you assumed that he was off on some sort of journey. He'd be returning soon. But when one day turned to two, and 2 days turned to four, you began to worry. And eventually you made your way back to his home. And his home had burned to the ground. You searched through the wreckage and you searched through the rubble, and you found that his garb, his cloak, all of his items had been taken. And you breathed a sigh of relief, assuming that he'd made it out and taken his most prized possessions with him. Taking a bit of time, you searched throughout the town before you could actually find someone with a scroll of locate object. And you've been going back and forth, searching for the cloak that you'd come to recognize so well. And finally, you've come close, and you can feel the telepathic pinging in your mind. The cloak, and you assume Blackjack, is just beyond this door. And the door opens, and you find a small individual, very small, about a foot and a half tall, gnomish girl, standing in some robes, who seems to be looking up at you expectantly. You've seen gnomes before. This one seems to be some sort of child. What would you like to do?
My darling, no. This cloak is not for you.
Do you maybe have the wrong house?
Ruth detects evil.
Morel, are you evil at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Awesome. Detecting no evil, Ruth will step forward, stand kind of over Tanis, and extend a hand. I am Ruth Drageda. We are, well, some of the defenders of Corvosa. And who might you be?
And Morel will look at the hand and then look back at the rest of the group and say, my name is Morel, and I am looking for someone whose belongings you seem to have.
Belongings?
I mean, we steal a lot of stuff. Well,
we don't steal.
You don't? Loot. Well, okay, no, that's fair. You know what? That's a semantics matter. You're right.
Morel, as you're looking inside the room, you look around and you can feel the telepathic ping continuing to pull you forward. And you can tell where the cloak should be. But the chair is empty.
Do I see the cloak itself?
You do not. And this immediately brings a bit of confusion to your mind. The cloak should be here. The magic is working. You can feel it in your mind. The cloak is there, but you can't see it?
Someone of your group, do me a favor, if you please. I'm looking for a cloak that I know is here. I can feel it in my mind, but I do not see it. And this magic is not for me.
Cloak.
Maybe we should start at the beginning. I'm Tanis, Oracle of Apsu, and we're here to try to help the people. What is it that you're looking for?
Ah, so you are those people. I understand better now. Yes, thank you so much for the food. The apple was particularly delicious.
So our
antennas will smile. So, well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Shaq steps up. He introduces himself. Oh, and by the way, for the new character, Shaq is a half-orc. He stands at about 6'8". He's just kind of a rough-looking dude. And he'll reach his hand out and offer it. He's like, hey, I'm Shaq. I guess I'm with these people sometimes. That accent is interesting. Are you from the area? Where are you from?
Shaq, thank you so much for your hospitality. And Morel just lets herself in and just starts wandering around the room, looking around, getting a feel for everybody. She does not shake anyone's hand. She's just getting a lay of the land, as it were.
The place that they're staying in is an old house, rundown. Many of the door frames and even the walls and floor seem to be cracked in many locations. And as you look through one of the open doors, there seems to be absolute devastation in that one room, where the floor itself seems to have been splintered upward. And there's a large, deep hole that goes down deep. You could see at least 10 feet down into the dirt before it looks like the dirt has collapsed. This is a terrible place to live.
Oui, what happened here? Did you try to destroy this man's home?
That's kind of a long story. It involves, you know, cultists and
rust monsters.
Yeah, rust monster beetles, and I would say they're the ones that destroyed the house.
Agreed. We were trying to protect those that were inside, namely ourselves and our friend here. This is Salvatore. That over there is Sindar. And unless I miss my guess, person with the cloak is still nameless for now. I suppose if it's just the cloak that you're looking for, she'll kind of turn to where Cone is and sort of volley over to him. If you can't reveal yourself, you may.
Whose cloak are you looking for? And Tanis is going to listen very closely as she answers that question.
We were on the manor. As I said, I am Noelle, and I am looking for not only the cloak, but the person who belongs in the cloak, the man you know as Blackjack.
Blackjack's real?
And she will pull back her hood and show a medium-sized female tiefling with purple lavender skin and white hair.
Oh, what a striking visage. And Ruth kind of loses all tact for a second. That sounds really, really cool.
You don't see your kind around here very often.
Shaq's mouth kind of hangs open.
No, your voice came in pretty clear just there. Let's see. If you're looking for Blackjack, then I take it you're also interested in helping the people of the city?
Oui, that is my course and calling in life.
Well, that's fine.
Morel, are you trying to deceive these people? If you are, at least in some way, make a bluff check. and Sindar, I need you to make a sense motive check, as you had requested.
Yeah. So, yeah, for context, there's a lot of people that were hunting Blackjack, so there's reason to be suspicious of someone showing up looking for Blackjack.
16?
4.
She is perfectly honest. You have never met a more honest person in your life.
He just shrugs, leans back in his chair, and continues finishing breakfast.
Blackjack and I have been friends since we were small children, and we have worked together for a long time. I know what you have done for the city. I've been keeping my eyes and ears open, and now that I see you myself, I understand maybe, perhaps, why he was so willing to entertain your help.
I don't think that Blackjack has ever mentioned another person to us so far, I know of.
He has not, but that sort of thing probably wouldn't... If he had accomplices or aides, he probably wouldn't be like, and this is who I'm working with, and this person, and this person, especially if he's a vigilante.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and say that as more conversation has transpired, Ruth is excited about the prospect of having a new ally, but she is going to go ahead and sense as well. Let's see what we get.
Do I need to roll again?
Should be the same one, I think.
I think it would be the same one. Since you haven't, unless you're saying something different as a bluff, you just use the same modifier.
Ruth got a total 21 on her sense motive. She's just kind of listening and letting it roll over what she remembers from conversation and just generally the interaction that they've had with Blackjack.
Right. Are you attempting to deceive them?
Actually.
Not necessarily attempting to lie about anything in particular, but definitely keeping her cards close.
Okay. She doesn't seem to be attempting forms of deception, but she isn't an open book either.
Sure.
From your interactions with Blackjack, you do recall that when you guys had saved Trina Sabor from the wrongful execution, he took her with him, and he said that he would essentially not quite make use of her, but he would help train her not to be as vulnerable as she was before. And you haven't heard or seen Trina before, except for maybe once, where she seemed to be better for herself. He does seem to be the type of person, if he sees someone who is in need, he would train them to be an accomplice and essentially perpetuate his legacy.
Cool. He has a lot of Robins. I like it.
Yep.
Very cool. Then, knowing that, Rutha will kind of just maintain the general vibe, I suppose. Everyone's kind of on guard, but she'll again keep the hand. She'll extend the hand again, this time being sure to catch Morel's eye, and she'll speak kind of directly this time. Blackjack is careful with those whom he associates, and if he trusts you as much as that, and he's trusted us as well, it is a fine thing to have you with us. And she'll go to shake the hand this time. There is great need for those who care enough to do in this time. Going for the handshake.
Morel just stares at the hand. This is not my, how you say, mannerism to shake the hand, and she just kind of shakes her head. No, this is not happening. You get that feeling, and then she keeps on looking at the rest of the group members. So you have seen my friend then? Do you know where he is?
Well, we don't know where he is. We're looking for him. But the cloak is here. This is Cone. He's one of our friends and part of our group. And I think Cone has the cloak right now. And she motions to the empty chair.
Yep.
Do I perceive anything in this empty chair?
Make a perception check.
Good luck.
That'd be a big 14.
14. No, Cone's modifier is far higher than that. It's an empty chair.
Are you making fun of me now? Well, is the cloak?
No, not at all. It's... Cone is... He's right here.
Shaq is giving Cone a look like, don't apparate. Like, he kind of gives like a shaking head look to Cone.
Our friend
she's having microphone. Cone is having microphone trouble.
Oh. Can't be seen or can't be heard. Wonderful.
Sorry about that.
If you don't know where the cloak is, if you don't know where my friend is, just tell me and I'll go. There are the places to be in the city. There are the things to be doing.
Our friend who has the cloak is very discreet about whom he reveals himself to, and we respect his wishes. I assure you, on my word as a paladin, there is someone here. He is taking good care of Blackjack's equipment. In fact, we're going to be certainly in need of that equipment soon. That's all I can really say on the subject, but trust me, it's in good hands.
We, and you are a paladin of whom?
Oh, my goddess is Arian Rode, Lady of the Moon. Extender of mercy, protector of the innocent. She is
Shaq loudly starts snoring.
Yes, well, that's all well and good.
Deliverer of the nap, I see.
Well, no better place to nap than beneath the light of the moon.
Well, I have decided that I will stay with you until I see Blackjack again, for he will certainly come for his belongings if you indeed have them, which I can sense that you do.
Tannis will reach into her bag, and she will pull out one of the cards from the deck, and she'll put it down on the table face up, and say, I promise you, we have his belongings, and they're safe.
And you look down at the card, and you immediately recognize it as one of Blackjack's calling cards.
Seeing this card, would I understand that this means, like, hey, he's safe, and not just, oh, they stole the cards, anybody could have this card?
I mean, anyone could have the cards, honestly. The cards themselves are not exactly magical.
Sure. My darlings, you are so adorable. I want to believe your story, of course, but anyone could have this card. Not reassure me in the least.
Fuck. Shaq leans in to whisper to Rutha, we don't have time for this.
Agreed. We really don't.
Can I hear the whispering?
Make a perception check.
Should I make a stealth?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not going to be great at all.
28.
Yeah, you know what?
Wow.
I'm not even going to try to roll because my modifier for stealth is -3. So,
yeah.
You're trying to be quiet, but your voice is big and resonant. You're a big dude.
Well, let me just roll for crit just for the sake of gameplay.
Go for it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, sorry. You're big dude. Your voice carries. All right. Cone, you continue to watch and sit and watch as these people seem to argue rather rudely right over your head.
All right. I suppose we don't have time for this.
Do I hear this?
Do you say this so that Morel can hear?
Suddenly a creature about 6 foot tall appears in the chair that everyone was motioning to. And this is a picture of Kong. I beg your pardon, ma'am, but generally I prefer to be invisible.
I understand. I myself prefer shadows when I find them. And for what it's worth, Morel is about 5'3", so kind of not tall in this party.
And Morel, make a nature check. Nature or planes, your choice.
What does nature fall under?
Intelligence.
Thank you.
So you would see it as knowledge, nature.
The goal 5.
Okay. This is a really big rabbit. Like a 6-foot-tall rabbit that was invisible not too long ago. You don't know exactly what this is? Or how someone is that good at hiding themselves. But yeah, you were looking into that chair just a moment ago. But for some reason, this rabbit could show itself to some people and not show itself to other people.
I have seen many strange things this day.
And consequently, he is wearing Blackjack's cloak.
Yes.
This is the cloak you were looking for, ma'am.
You are correct. And you did not stuff my friend into your burrow, did you? And take his cloak?
No, we unfortunately happened upon his house when it was being attacked by... these recipes that we spoke of earlier, and that's when his house burned down. We almost were burned down, but we found this.
Do I believe this person?
Make a sense motive check.
Sixteen,
okay, above a 10. Cone seems to be truthful. Doesn't seem malicious, and you look at the cloak and you don't see any holes or bloodstains on it. No sign of a struggle, no sign of a fight. So, yeah, this cone seems to be telling the truth.
Now that introductions have been made, I must ask, Mr. Morel, we have some rather delicate plans in place for today. Plans that will help us to aid many in the city. And if you're to stay with us, I suppose we'll need to discover how you will be fitting into them. Can you tell us a little bit about what caught Blackjack's eye in the first place? What exactly do you bring to the table?
And you see Salvatore get up and say, do we all need to be here for this? If you don't mind, I would like to take a walk with the little lady.
Yes, very well. I'm trying to be as non-specific as I can so that people don't have to leave, but okay.
You see, as he gets up and starts walking away, he says, oh yes, I know.
Bluffing isn't okay. Exactly her specialty.
No. All right, well, you guys have fun. And, welcome to the team, she says as she walks past Muriel.
I thank you so much for your hospitality and welcome, my dear. Be well.
Ruth will offer some soup as well.
No, thank you. The apple was enough. I appreciate your graciousness, sir. To answer your question, Blackjack and I, again, having been comrades since we were children, we're good at sneaking around and maybe finding things that don't want to be found, opening up doors that might rather be locked, poking things that don't want to be poked.
Very good. Then I imagine that Cone would be more than happy to have you with him during some of what's about to happen.
Your rabbit friend is good at hiding and sneaking?
Better than any I've encountered so far. And now Nightglider's gone again. Welcome back.
Back. Yes?
I was just complimenting you.
What were you saying?
Cone is probably the most stealthy and discreet of all the people that I've encountered so far in our adventures. So, your assistance will be almost certainly appreciated in his realm of expertise. While Shaq and I are putting on a bit of a spectacle, the two of you will be responsible for... Well, I'm sure he can fill you in quickly. It still kind of turns my stomach to think about, but it is necessary.
All right. What, you want me to fill her in on the...
No. Cone can fill her in.
Huh?
Cone can fill her in. Perhaps as we're all getting ready.
I'm sorry, okay. What is happening today? You have a plan of some sort? I was only looking for my friend, and now that I see that he is, maybe okay, do I want to help you?
Blackjack is to be freed from where he is, if he is to help us with delivering Corvosa from some of the evil that pervades it, then we're going to need the help of someone quite powerful. In order to secure that help, we are taking down another power player, one who has caused great pain, great harm to the people of Old Corvosa already. So, that's where we're headed, to take care of one wicked thing and secure some help to save Blackjack.
In other words, we're gonna try to kill the Emperor today.
Ah, well, I guess it's a good thing that I've had my cafe, yes?
Hmm.
Gilmian friends, let's begin.
Well, Cone can fill you in on the details of the stealthier part of the mission. I believe Sindar will be with you as well. Shaq and I are required in the courtyard.
Everywhere.
It will be quite a demonstration soon. And, it should be quite the spectacle. Can we, I guess she doesn't really know.
Yeah, I can give a quick rundown if you guys want to just say, hey, we did fill her in on the plan. So essentially what the group discusses over the next, I'd say, 45 minutes to an hour is that they plan on using some items that they got from Glorio Arconas in order to help weaken his strength in his own magic. In doing so, they plan on hosting a party out in the middle of the square for all the people under the guise and under the name of the glory of the Emperor. They've invited the Emperor to come along, and while there, they intend to spike his wine with a bit of ungul dust, which reduces the charisma of those who imbibe in it. They also intend to give him a new robe, which is a robe of, it is actually a cursed robe of powerlessness, which also hinders magical spell casting as well. In order to distract him during this time, Rutha and Shaq will actually be having a orc-on-orc WWE-style fight in the middle of the square, possibly drawing a little bit of blood, piquing the Emperor's interest. And when he is well distracted, they are going to turn on the Emperor, and Rutha will try to make a plea to the people in order to rise up from the tyranny of the Emperor, who has been terrorizing them for the past few months, conscripting people into his own guard, with little regard for what they have or what they need, and people who displease him fall under the teeth of the Tall Knife, which is an extremely elaborate guillotine.
I will definitely give you points for flair. This is a very involved plan.
So, are you good in the art of persuasion? Or do you prefer fight?
Sorry, just a second. I'm checking my stats.
I am the one that will be in charge of presenting the Emperor with his gifts. I do not doubt my powers of persuasion, but it never hurts to have a second person, especially one as lovely as yourself.
Of course. And Kelwyn, you think about it. You perhaps could present Morel as an interesting curiosity to the Emperor. Tieflings in this area are extremely rare, especially ones with skin and hair the color of Morel's. The Emperor probably won't trust her to begin with, especially if she comes on her own, as she has not allied herself with him. But if she would come with you, and you were to say, this individual is here to potentially keep you company for a short amount of time. Just to be seen with among the people, to have interesting and potentially powerful friends nearby, that could be something that could potentially pique the Emperor's interest.
I tell you, as beautiful and brilliant as I am, not always away with words. Sometimes things are better spoken with a blade.
Fair enough.
Or a hook.
Or a hook. So I had not tried the hook before, but definitely not with words. Hiding in the shadows, you know, poking you in the back when you aren't looking, not so difficult.
It's kind of my style, too.
Sindar has
his eyes
on her even more after that comment.
And Morel, when you look at Shaq, you realize that on his back, he has an enormous hook. I mean, I'm talking Maui from Moana size.
Yeah, you see that, and you see a giant sword with like elaborate engravings meant for somebody probably beyond Shaq's station, and also meant for somebody probably a lot taller than Shaq as well. They're kind of like crossways on his back at the moment.
So you are all long-time friends, yes? For such a diverse group.
Sometime friends, I would guess. Some of us. Of us longer than others.
Yeah, friends is kind of a loose definition. More business associates. I mean, I've known the Paladin for a while, but other than that, I'm a lot like you. Minus the purpose. I just kind of stumbled on this because I was bored.
Ah, yes. Zakon.
I disappeared out of a portal underwater. I don't know why.
Morel just, raises an eyebrow at Kon.
Kon just shrugs. Gives a grin.
I was just wandering through and I haven't been able to leave yet.
I'm hoping to make a few friends while I'm here. I think I already have.
Well, you are with the group who is going to defy Mad Emperor and possibly die trying, so, you know, can't be all bad. When does this party begin?
What do we say, around noon?
Around noon, and already it's around 10 a.m.
Yeah. Things should be getting started very soon. If there are any preparations in the square that we need to start making, we should head out and make them now.
I'm going to go grab the Santa outfit, or I'm going to go grab the Red Wizard outfit. I'll be back.
GM, quick question. I forget. Does a suit of full plate come with a helmet?
I would say that considering that you had it made to your specifications, did the armor that you had envisioned carry a helmet?
I'm honest, no. I don't think it did, actually. Okay. Well, that's all right.
All right. You have about 2 hours before things are supposed to very quickly get underway. What would you like to do?
It may be good for those of us that are going to be a part of the actual big throwdown situation. If there's going to be any kind of overlook I guess my question is the courtyard currently in a scenario where we can escort the Emperor down to have a decent viewing situation, or do we need to get him moving in that direction already?
Probably be difficult to push the Emperor. He'll make it down when he wants to make it down.
Right. Okay. Sounds about right.
We should have some sort of pre-entertainment.
Also, since Shaq is not terribly good at deception, in order to sell the idea that he is an enemy combatant, he is going to get very drunk.
I cannot stop you.
Yeah.
I thought Tanis told you not to do that.
People tell Shaq not to do things all the time. And Shaq's kind of his own person, and he knows that he's not going to be able to sell this sober, so.
Rutha doesn't cluck her tongue or cross her arms or be matronly, but she will just...
Nobody knows what Shaq is doing.
Keep a clear head. Oh, okay. Well, never mind then, I guess.
This is just kind of an inner monologue. I'm just letting the GM know what Shaq's doing.
Yes, yes, this all will. Right, cool. This will be interesting. All right. So do the two orcs begin making their way down to the center court, and the stealthy folks begin making their way over towards the Emperor?
Yes, I believe so.
Shaq will be making his entrance after Rutha. He will position himself as much as he can, position himself in the crowd.
Oh, hey, sorry, real quick. Did we decide who was going to be carrying the wand?
I think only you can use it.
Really?
Atanas is not going to participate. You're the only other divine caster.
And I think that it makes sense for the paladin to have the healing.
It does. And wands can cast at a distance, right? You don't have to like be standing next to a person.
You do have to touch them. It is as if you cast the spell yourself, and Cure Moderate Wound is a touch-based spell.
Okay. Then I reiterate my question from earlier. Does anybody know the spell Weapon Wand? I think it's an arcane spell, but I was thinking we might embed the wand in Ruth's sword. And if we did that, she might be able to use it to heal a bit even as she's dealing damage.
Glorio might have that spell, if you don't mind paying, a bit of coin.
Another 1,000 gold.
Right, yeah, no. Ruth is about strapped for cash at this point, so I don't know. Oh yeah, is Kona Divine Caster?
You could probably use magical device, as rogues tend to be rather good at that. I don't know if Kona's actually put any points into it, though.
Not at this point.
Okay.
Ruth's use magic device actually isn't too bad, and casting with it it'll be fine. We'll keep it around.
Yeah, and Ruth doesn't need to use that. It's only if you cannot cast that spell on your own that you'd need to use magical device.
Okay. Then I think
you're going to be with the beat up people anyway, so
yeah, pretty
hopefully
much.
Hopefully, I won't get beat up too quickly.
Okay. Yeah, alright. So we've got a plan. Let's pursue it, I suppose.
Alright. So, the two orcs, after Shaq goes into the back and changes into his new garb, and as you are leaving, you realize that this garb was quite obviously designed to attract attention and make people wonder. Make people wonder where he's going. Why he's dressed like that, and perhaps to join the rest of the crowd around where the Emperor is going to be. As Morel, you see Shaq come out wearing a red robe with whitish trim around the edges, and you've heard the story of the Red Wizard, a wizard who goes out during midwinter to bring toys to the young children. I haven't seen anyone dressed up like him in a while.
If you say ho ho ho, I'm leaving.
Why would I do that?
Because it'd be fun.
Sincerely. It may or may not be a part of the lore of the Red Wizard, but Shaq has no idea.
Belly was.
And honestly, Shaq,
I love that. That is awesome.
Hold on a second. Yes. I mean, that's not quite what Shaq looks like, but that definitely gives the idea.
Awesome. It's canon now.
Yep.
All right, so you two make your way out to the main square, and you're already drawing a crowd as you begin making your way out. And the two stealthy folk begin making their way over to the other end of the square, where the Emperor himself will be sitting.
Just before they get there, Morel is going to say to Cone very quietly that spent my entire life trying to stay away from this bastard. Now we get close. I am a fool.
Well, you have two options. Either hide yourself in a convenient location or come with me. Those are basically the two options. As I am speaking to you, no one else can see you except no one else can see me or hear me except you and the rest of my party.
So it's the middle of the day right now. If Morel wants to try and be stealthy, can she make an attempt, please?
Of course you can. This is what you do. And, Cone, just as a reminder, because the Emperor saw you in battle, he can also see you.
Usually I play Cone as if, like, each day it could be different, but either way, he's going to be showing himself to the Emperor.
Okay. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
But yes, Morel, you seem to slip quietly between the people, slipping from shadow to shadow, from building to building. And it's not as difficult as you'd imagine. The perpetual fog, the perpetual mist, and the perpetual gloom in this area seems to hide you rather well. And most people seem to either be focused on what's going on in the main square, or have their heads down and going on about their own business. You make your way over to the head of the square, and surprisingly enough, the Emperor is already there. Sitting, leaning back in his chair, as you watch as Jabber, the small gnome, is already setting up the tall knife. He says, I see you've made it.
Yes. Welcome, and I hope you will enjoy the spectacle. Though, I see you're eager for it to begin as well.
Of course.
Well, I'm ready for some entertainment, but we have to wait for the crowds to gather as well as for the performers to be ready.
Patience. Not exactly one of my strong suits, but, well, I'm sure the wait will be worth it. I see the food's already arriving.
Yes.
And who's this strange, mysterious figure standing next to you?
Ah! This is my friend. I thought you would love to meet her, as you have a interest in meeting strange folk and new creatures.
And what could be more new or strange than you, my friend? But I will let you entertain me, please.
Before Cone can introduce her, she's going to pull her hood back and curtsy and say, I'm so very pleased to meet you, Your Majesty.
I don't believe I've seen a tiefling of your type before. Interesting. You're indeed right, Cone. This one is fascinating. I'd like to know more about your mother, father, history. At some point, though.
As you wish, Your Majesty, you have only to ask.
Oh, well then I do ask, and I insist. And let me know if you would like to play this out, but you will successfully have a conversation with the Emperor, temporarily distracting him, if you would like to.
She will answer questions when asked, but otherwise she will be quiet.
Alright. And mostly the Emperor will ask about your heritage, and he'll say, is it infernal or abyssal? Is it... I noticed you have white skin. Does that mean that you are one of the, related to one of the bone devils? That sort of thing. He definitely seems more interested in your, outsider history. Cone, what would you like to do during this time?
My preparations have already been made. I guess I'm just observing, tactical, making sure I'm ready.
All right. In that case, you see, he continues to talk, and You see, he leans back and then looks to the two of you, just at least you, Cone, just standing around. You see his eyes squint. Morel and Cone, I need you both to make will saves.
Fourteen,
good to know. All right. I believe that is your D20. Then add your wisdom modifier, and then add your base save. Okay. Good to know. All right. The Emperor, you don't. Both of you don't. Nothing seems to change for either of you. Oddly enough. And the Emperor sits and watches, and his eyes flicker back and forth between the two of you, and he says, "Now, Cone, what brought you over this way again?"
Oh, myself? I simply appear here and there, and I like to travel with people and try to make friends.
Indeed, but did you come to my box simply to stare and watch the entertainment from on high?
Oh, Your Majesty, I do want to present you some gifts at the beginning of the performance and keep you company.
Ah, interesting. Oh, I look forward to these gifts. It's always fun. And UC says, "Oh, come, please, give me a hint."
Well, one that I am most excited to present to you was made none other but the artist you have interest in, Salvatore Scream.
Ah, the artist that will soon become art, yes. Has he found his muse yet?
That is uncertain, however. We have, you know how artists are, sometimes they like to take a break from their current work. Well, we persuaded him to take a break by creating you a wonderful gift.
Says, oh, and what could that be?
It is an article of clothing for Your Majesty to wear at this fine festival.
Oh, I'm sure it's beautiful, especially if Salvatore made it. Can I get a peek, please?
Well, I do want to save it for when the crowds gather.
Oh, you're no fun. Fine. I believe we have enough of a crowd gathered, we should probably get started in that case. And you see he stands up from his chair, claps his hands together, and says, "Ladies and gentlemen of my gentry, you have all gathered here today to celebrate me. For today is another day that you get to bask in my glory. But today is a special day. Today you get to enjoy the bounties of my companions. Those who have chosen to work for me. And not only will you get to enjoy this wonderful spread that is out before you, but you will also get to see a bit of additional entertainment. Two of my champions have decided to have a bit of a battle to see who is the strongest between the orcs. And for the loser, well, we have something secondarily special for them. And you see he reaches over and pats the tall knife on the side and says, "Be sure you don't miss the finale. Though I will give you a bit of a warning. The first three rows are a splash zone." And you see he sits back down and says, "Now please, entertain yourselves. And enjoy as the battle begins. You may present yourselves, orcs."
Rutha probably should go first.
Yeah, Rutha will step up. She's got her sword drawn already, a shield on her left arm. She's going to gauge the crowd first, just kind of see what kind of vibe is going on. Obviously people are going to be starting to pay attention, but what's the general feel among the crowd?
Oh yeah, you go through, and it didn't take long for people to gather, especially once they heard that there was food, free food especially, but food in this area. Word spread like wildfire. And the crowd is already 300 or 400 strong.
Great. Okay.
The people seem to be, well, relieved at being able to slow the hunger pangs of their stomach. They are interested, and they do seem to be interested in a bit of entertainment as well. They're mostly curious, though they are keeping a wary eye out for the Emperor. They know how his spectacles end, and they would rather not be participants.
Sure. Your Majesty, I would like to present your gift.
Ah, yes, of course. But first, let's bring out the contestants.
Rutha, having kind of gauged the crowd, is going to step into the closest to the center that she can, and kind of turn herself a bit with the sword in hand so that people start to back up some. Wants to create something of an opening before she starts to speak. She will, when she raises her voice, she's going to use all of her training from the temple to try and command attention, but also do her best not to intimidate. Instead, she wants to make sure that she has as much attention upon her as she can as she speaks.
Okay. What do you say? And after you say it, make a diplomacy check.
Yeah. "People of Old Corvosa, my name is Rutha Drogheda. I am a paladin and serve the Lady Arion Road, Beneficent Moon. I have been gifted with the opportunity to serve you. The Emperor has been so kind as to help set this demonstration up today. I wish only to celebrate the dignity of each and every one of you, to show the kind of tenacity that I have seen among you. I've witnessed the hardships that you've endured. I and my friends have done what we can to help to alleviate, but really the inspiration has lain with you all. In darkest times, we look to not merely ourselves, but one another for support and strength, trusting that there will come a day when things can change for the better." She is got her sword up at this point. It's not glowing with light yet. It's a pretty bright day, so it'd be kind of unnecessary. But she's trying to draw their attention to her voice, not so much to the armor. We've encountered the kind of the issues of lack and want. She'll try her best to just get them to listen to her words more than anything else.
All right, make a diplomacy roll. See how well you manage to grab the attention of the crowd. Total
36.
36. As you begin to speak, people, pay attention. They turn to you, and they, at first, you are right. They do see the gilded armor, the magical arms that could possibly feed them for a week. But as you continue to orate, you watch as their eyes shift up from your armor, up into your eyes, up into your face. And they see the most unlikely spokesperson. A half-orc, someone who would probably be shunned or turned away. Speaking with such passion, such fervor. And each of their backs seem to get a little straighter. As they think, yes, yes, we are here. We all are individuals. We are not a massive throng of starving people. We are people who can change things. And you hear one person in the back, you see he raises a fist and shouts out singularly, "Stronger together!" And at first some other people seem to hush him, but a second one brings up the chair, and then a third, and then a fourth. And they're, before long, all of them are raising their fists, chanting over and over, "Stronger together! Stronger together! Stronger together!"
Indeed, greater even than the light of the sun of the moon, greater than the splendor of eagles, greater than anything else is the potential, how much stronger we are together. She'll raise her sword nice and high, spread out her other arm, because I'm assuming that vocal and somatic involve like moving and saying the name of the spell. She's casting eagle splendor on herself as she continues to rally them.
Okay. And at first, the Emperor seems to sit forward, but he's going to make a spellcraft check. Yeah, he recognizes the spell. And he's just like, oh, okay then. And he sits back down.
Okay.
She knows how to rally up a crowd.
Yeah.
Apparently. This will be quite entertaining. Let's see how the second combatant does. And he comes he actually comes up to a bit closer towards you. And it says, "Yes, as you say, stronger together, of course." And Arutha, I need you to make a will save.
Okay. That's a total 30.
30. Good to know.
Yes. This is good. Going well.
All right. Since, and now we have the secondary combatant.
This one's going to be great.
Please, so I'm sure he needs no introduction.
On that note, the crowd kind of quiets down. There's probably a solid 10 seconds or so, and then you just start hearing a slow clap. Yeah,
Hello?
Hello?
He's too drunk.
Real quick, while we're waiting for him to reconnect, Tanis would have endeavored to get those five enforcers, falling down drunk, if possible.
Oh yeah, and that's not
her
that
DC
hard.
Was 17, and she would misfortune each of them.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, Celtic, we cannot hear you. Yes, it's not that hard. These guys also live in Old Corvosa, and although they have a little bit more food than some of the others because they work for the Emperor mostly keeps the food to himself. So having actual ale is huge for them. And test, you basically test. Say, hey, welcome back.
Okay, good. All right, so yeah. Sorry, my mic got knocked over while I was giving my speech. So you hear a slow clap from the back of the crowd, and then you hear, yeah, Paladin, that was a real inspired speech there. I swear, you theistic types just royally tick me off. You know what? You know how much... You want to talk about stronger together? You want to talk about suffering? You don't know how much suffering your types have caused this world? You know how much suffering your types have caused this world and the people that... and the beings that you follow? If you knew the true nature of the being that you followed, you probably would have given it up a long time ago, just like I did. Your hypocrisy is absolutely reprehensible. And Shax, like, you know, just when you think Shax is like kind of just kind of you know, waxing eloquent about his beliefs, your hypocrisy is absolutely reprehensible, and it's my intention to. And you just see him kind of turn green, and you just see him kind of retch over. It's my intention to just show how powerless the person that you follow is. And he stumbles. He pushes people out of the way. And he stumbles. Almost falls over one time.
All right. Bruce
speaks up directly in answer. And I'm not sure exactly how this will mechanically work, but she's going to speak and I'll help explain kind of how it's working here. She says, okay. Such base words are not becoming of anyone, much less a kinsman of mine. As the Emperor watches, and as Arian Road shines on me, these people will witness honorable combat, fulfillment of a sacred oath. I will claim victory this day. She's particularly emphasizing the honorable combat part. She's also going to... let's see. As best she can, she and Shaq have known each other long enough that she's going to do her best to show that what they're about to do is going to be... It's going to work. It's going to be a good thing. She's projecting confidence and hoping that that will be something that can help even bolster everyone around, if possible.
All right. You watch as the Emperor... makes his way up to you as well, Shaq, and as he passes you, Cone, he says, well, at least it won't be a long fight.
Or a boring one.
Indeed. I've heard of these drunken fist masters, or whatever they call themselves. Let's see if this is Oka's one of them. It says, welcome, Red Wizard Orkin. To the fight. Perhaps your words will be as strong as your arm, and hopefully your arm will be, and you see he covers his mouth, his nose, and says, as strong as your breath.
Well, let's just get this over with.
Indeed. And Shaq, I need you to make a will save.
Oh no. Bye, guys.
Here we are again.
Actually, can I go ahead and say that Shaq has entered rage at this point?
A That's an interesting point. At what point did you enter rage?
I'm going to go ahead and say at the beginning of his speech.
Okay. How long does your rage last?
How long is rage usually? I don't usually...
I think it's a matter of rounds. So if you started at the beginning of your speech and it lasted about a minute, you're probably pushing close to the end of your rage, and I don't think you want to do that.
Level plus con? So, I'm level 8. My con is plus 3. So, that's 11 rounds.
11 rounds. So, a minute and 6 seconds.
So, maybe I can kind of get away with it?
essentially, you're going to start combat with Rutha and then immediately run out of rage. And be fatigued. Just as a heads up, if that is what you want to do, I won't stop you. But based on what you guys have planned, rage is something that you probably want to preserve.
Yeah. Quick question. Is the spell that the Emperor's using a charm effect?
No.
Okay. Never mind then.
How long does fatigue last?
I'd have to double check. I think it's not too long, but you would be out of rage for the day.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought there were multiple uses per day.
I mean,
so you can use rage up to those 11 rounds. They do not have to be.
Let me look at rage real quick.
So you could do what's called rage cycling, which is rage for one round, turn it off for one round. Rage for another round, turn it off for a different round. But you have a total number of 11 rounds of rage that you could do in a day.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say he did not rage.
Okay.
At the beginning of that, I was just trying to get that plus 2 bonus to my will save. But if I'm gonna be fatigued and not be able to use rage in actual combat, then probably not the best idea.
Just as a heads up.
Yep, I appreciate it. So will save.
Indeed.
Question, GM.
Yes.
Could Tanis have risked getting close enough to help Shaq?
I'm not sure if you would know that this is actually. I'm not sure if you would know that this is actually taking place. There is no physical appearance.
Okay, there's no semantic component to what he does.
How do I put this? It's already done.
It's already been cast at some previous point. It's a critical fail.
Oh, good to know.
Yep.
All right, Shaq, you feel no different.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's great.
Okay. The Emperor says, well, enjoy your bout. And he goes back and returns back to his seat.
Now, Your Majesty, would you like your gifts?
Oh, but of course, yes.
This is the robe. And Cohn presents the robe of Salvatore Scream's famous artwork.
Ooh, yes. This is good. This is nice. I like it.
And you know, once an artist has passed on, their works increase in value.
Oh, but of course. I know this quite well.
But so, Your Majesty, you increase the splendor of this garment just by your visage, by your appearance, by your magnanimity.
Oh, I like this one. May I keep her?
Well, maybe borrow.
I'll be able to whittle you down.
But, hee.
But you said gifts, plural.
Oh, yes. I have acquired this fine wine to celebrate the occasion. And I present the bottle of wine to him.
Ooh. This is good stuff. I will be sure to taste it after the bout, of course.
Yes, well, who knows how long it will last, but I encourage you to try on the garment.
Give me just a moment. And you see he holds out the garment, looks at it back and forth, and says, I think I'll try it on after the bout as well.
That is not a good sign.
Are you sure, Your Majesty? You could be ready to spring into action with your new outfit.
Oh, but there's nothing more eye-catching than a flourishing cloak. As I snap it around my neck and remove someone else's head from theirs. And with this, I need Shaq and Rutha to begin their bout. And I will have both of you roll initiative separately.
Oh, this is a separate initiative from...
from the earlier ones that were rolled.
Okay.
Okay. This one is total 16.
Total 8.
All right, Rutha, you go first.
Have at you, she'll call out. She has her sword in hand already. She'll charge toward Shaq and immediately begin to channel smite. She's going to try to strike him with her sword already glowing, suffused with the Lay on Hands power.
Okay. Make an attack roll.
All right, we're looking at a total 24 to hit.
That definitely hits.
All right.
Okay. Cool. Roll for damage, and then roll to undo that damage with your smite. He can heal.
All right, so we've got 4 damage on her first attack. The healing comes out to 12, and when she uses Lay on Hands, it also serves as a mercy, so sickness will be removed. He's no longer going to be puking his guts up.
I'm no longer intoxicated.
Is it poisoned? Can you remove poison with your mercy?
Poison?
Yes.
Well, that's technically what being drunk is, yeah.
Sickness and disease are her two mercies that she can cover. So I guess
you're no longer nauseous, but you're definitely still heavily buzzed.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, second attack. Second attack. That is a... looking at there. It's a total, I think, 18? Yeah.
Is 18. That it?
Yeah.
Check, does an 18 beat your armor class?
It does.
Okay. Roll to 4 damage again.
Another 4. The sword is... still glowing, so let's see what we got here.
So, I believe when you channeling Lay on Hands is a swift action for yourself, correct?
Yes.
I think you can only have one swift action a round.
The channel smite is just an attack that expends a use of the lay on hands, basically, to add the healing or undead killing component.
Good to know.
Yeah. 16 points of healing.
16 points of healing. The crowd watches as you carve across the chest of this loudmouth heathen braggart and almost immediately draw blood. And some of the people in the back, who definitely did not agree with some of his views, raise a hand and cheer as their newly arisen champion begins to strike down the drunkenness and the lies that this other half-orc has been spouting, almost showing that together anyone can rise. And this, it shows the difference between the best of them and possibly the worst of them. And this battle, they can see themselves slaying the darkness that resides within each and every one of their own hearts. And even the Emperor cheers as he watches blood be spilled, and that's what he's here for. He says, ah! Excellent. This is what I came here to see. Blood.
It's off to a good start.
Indeed. Let's see if the drunken one can keep up. Shaq, it is your turn.
All right. Shaq will, what will Shaq do? Shaq will take the hit like a champ. And still stumbling, of course. He is going to go ahead and roar. And he's going to hit the paladin with his ogre hook.
Okay.
That is a 16 to attack.
Rutha, does that beat your armor class?
Oh, no.
Okay. You watch as sparks fly as the ogre hook drags across Rutha's arm. And at first, the crowd gasps, expecting Rutha to come down leading. But Rutha, you spin around with a flourish, and your armor is just as gleaming as it was before. And there's a secondary cheer that comes up.
Shaq's going to take another hit.
Go for it.
Frustrated, he's going to... This hit slightly weaker, of course, so he's going to take that hit and wildly swing. That is an 8 to attack.
Nah.
Okay. You try and step back and drive your ogre hook directly into Rutha's chest. In order to do more of a bludgeoning attack. But Rutha, you bring your sword up and actually catch the ogre hook on the side and spin around to the point where you're actually inside the ogre hook. Shaq pulls it back in order to try and cut you, but you actually slide downward, showering sparks across your head as the ogre hook flips backwards. All right. I believe that ends Shaq's turn.
Does?
Rutha, back to you.
All right. Seeing that the sparks are from a little bit here and that the first of attacks have been exchanged, she'll take a second to breathe a little bit, speak nice and loud for everyone to hear. Your attacks are sloppy. They show no grace. They're blessed by no power. You will not know the strength of fighting with others at your back. To be so alone must be so tragic. She'll come in. She'll do a nice big Errol Flynn, you know, spin move above her head with the sword before she comes down for the strike. She'll
okay.
Go,
make an attack roll.
It's a total 26.
That beat your AC.
All right.
Of course.
Okay.
AC is 16 for future reference.
Good to know. Okay. I'll make note of it.
24 for Rutha, so we can get a little faster with this.
Okay. You come over and bring your hand down after the flourish. And Shaq, you bring your hands up almost immediately before Rutha actually drops to one knee and spins her blade around her back and cuts you on the back of the thigh. you drop down, immediately coming down to catch your thigh, and she comes up and catches her blade along the side of your face as you bring your head down, before she skips back once again.
All right, attack number two.
This time, attack number one. Did the attack number one do any healing as well?
It dealt 7 damage, and the would it be a sleight of hand check for me to try and switch from actually channeling positive energy to just having light as a? She can do that freely since it's one of her traits.
You can do that without a problem.
And would the crowd know the difference? Would the light get any different?
They might notice that he's no longer healing from his injuries, but this is kind of what they initially expected.
Okay. Then, yeah, she'll let the light be the thing that's keeping it lit and keeping people's eyes on it. She's not healing on to go around. Still has to preserve some of those. If things get too bad...
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Worry about it.
So that's the first one. Second one, she's actually not going to use her sword time. She's going to come around with her shield. A more dramatic kind of bludgeoning strike. So the effect is going to be good, too. Roll to 16.
Okay. You have no problem. As Shaq places his hand on the side of his face, drawing away blood that seems to continue to flow. He immediately steps forward, but you bring up your shield and you drive the edge into his gut to directly below his ribcage and rise up, bringing him up off the ground a few inches and flinging him back. Shaq, you land on your feet, but you are definitely winded.
That was 1 point of damage, by the way.
How much?
1 point.
Okay.
Shaq, it is back to you.
Shaq will... Yeah, Shaq's just gonna rush and attack again with Ogre Hook, just, you know, just as flailing and as drunken as possible.
Go for it.
He's determined to just kind of make a fool out of himself. That is a natural 19, and it's a 30 to hit.
Okay.
Nice.
So do I need to confirm?
Is it within your crit range?
It's within my crit range.
Go ahead and confirm.
All right. It's a 13 for the confirm.
Okay. I don't believe that confirms, but it is still a confirmed hit.
Okay. So... That does 7 points of damage.
7 points of damage as you bring your ogre hook up. And this time it actually does catch you between a chink in your armor, right between your, right where your shoulder blade meets your torso and catches you in the armpit. And you gasp in pain as you pull off the edge of the ogre hook. It hurts. It's definitely bleeding. You probably tore something at least a little bit, and the people gasp as they watch their hero bleed. Shaq, I believe you have a second attack.
Yep. Shaq looks at him and says... Shaq looks at her and says, so much for the power of the gods. And he just, again, just wildly swings.
All right, make a second attack.
Yeah, that doesn't hit.
Okay. You bring your ogre hook around... chopping almost like a cleaver. This time Ruth is ready and ducks directly below your blade. Ruth, you actually hear the air whistling as the blade passes within inches of your ear. I believe that ends your turn, Shaq.
Yep.
Ruth, back to you.
Ruth is going to swing like she's going to hit him with a sword, but she's actually going to go ahead and punch him as he can in the face with her hand.
Trying to do a feint?
Kind of, yeah, like she's going in with the sword, but instead I'm picturing she's pulling the sword actually back a little bit, letting the flat of her fist come in and just kind of right in the bridge of the nose area there. And people will see her hands with the lay on hands quality as she goes into strike it.
All right. Make your attack roll.
So it's almost like an unarmed channel smite, but we're just going to roll with it. Let's see what we get. Oh, no. It was a poor roll. It was only a three. And with the... Let's see. That's hold on. Actually, that's a total... She's got 10, a 3. Is there anything else going on? Nah, I think it's a total of 13.
13.
So.
Yeah, your hand begins to glow with power, and people cheer.
Catches the fist.
Yep.
All right. Can the lay on hand still pass to him if he's holding her
fist? I'll allow it.
Sweet.
I'm going to say Shaq's willing for that. And Shaq kind of mouths...
13. 17 points of healing.
Nice.
Okay.
Back up to full health.
All right. Ruthie, you have a second attack.
Yes. And when he's got her fist, she'll come up with a knee trying to hit his thigh. She's going to kind of aim for that general area. If she can hit a thigh or a knee, that's what she's going for. That's another arm strike. I'll give it a shot. Ooh, that one's a total 26.
Okay, that hits.
Okay. There you go.
Roll for damage. Shield. As you bring up, as he catches your fist, you see the grin begin to spread across the side of his face. As you immediately, once again, just lean forward and drive your armor-plated knee directly into his thigh, feeling the tendons bend. Not quite break, but they definitely do bend, and it hurts, Shaq.
How much does unarmed strike do again? I forget.
I think it was 1d4.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's 3 damage.
Okay.
But it's all for show, and she's going to keep on... with each strike, she's... How about you? She'll come in with the knee and hit him in the thigh there and just
take a performance check.
Okay. Wow, do I have any kind of... What is performance under? Is it a charisma thing?
Charisma.
Oh, sweet. Okay, and I'll just add her mod to that. Roll the 10. We'll add the very boosted charisma numbers. Let's see.
I have a plan. I don't want this to go too long, so.
And I'll let you guys go as long as you want.
We're gonna call that a total 18.
18. Oh yeah, the crowd is eating this up.
Very good.
So where did Ruth hit Shaq last?
Kneed you in the thigh with her armored knee.
Okay.
Hey, Celtic. I'm envisioning the sequence that comes up on once a year.
The what?
The sequence that comes up on Facebook once a year. Our.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure.
There you go.
We need. We need like to use ourselves as character models for like this bout. Like seriously.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. All right. Hit it. Go.
Okay, so is there the neck? Can I hold my action for the next time I receive a blow to the head?
Yes, you may.
Okay, so I have. Do I need to tell you what it is?
I'll leave it a mystery. I just be prepared. If it can't work, I will let you know. It's like, hey, by the way, that wouldn't have worked, and we might have to retcon
actually,
it.
And I've already rolled for it as well. It's a bluff check, and I've already rolled for it, and it was a natural 20.
Okay.
So the next time I...
system!
So yeah, the next time I receive a blow to the head, yeah, that's my move.
Rutha just needs to know to attack you in the head.
Shaq
Gina.
Will...
We're both half-orcs. We communicate telepathically.
It's a blow to the head. Come on.
She's not attacked your head as of yet.
Is he open? No, she was going in to punch him with the hand, but caught it there. She's going to work to try and finish that strike, I guess. If he's
it's her turn.
Himself up for the head strike, then she'll try to follow that telegraph a little bit.
Yeah. And if you like, stick out your jaw a little bit.
It's kind of
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good.
It was a natural 20 for the bluff.
Okay, so she's going to, now that she's got a foot, she's gotten the knee in there. She's kind of inside his actual grapple range there. She's going to grab him by the shoulder and try to headbutt him real good. Just
okay.
Good shot.
Make an attack roll.
Okay.
That's a total. I still haven't made my actual move yet, so.
I know.
Yep. So this is a testament to how much Rutha actually wants to hurt him. I rolled a 5, and she's got a... She'll add her boost onto that. It's like,
I think that's a total of 15.
It just to a 15. Wait, is there anything else boosting that at all?
That's okay. It's perfectly fine.
All right, cool. She's super close, so it should look like it's about to hit all the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Rutha attempts to headbutt you, but draws back just a tiny bit.
Shaq will lean into the headbutt, and as soon as it comes in, he will jerk his head back as if it landed very well, and he will stumble back, and he will fall unconscious.
All right. And you watch as the crowd goes wild. And yes, people are cheering, people are calling out your name, people are saying, essentially they are cheering the success of their own good intentions, the betterment of the sentient races, over the bestial rage that resides in the darkened parts of their heart. And
Rutha will step forward and reach out a hand. She wants to, she'll go to help him up if she can.
Shaq's gonna maintain the ruse for a little bit.
Okay.
He's out. Okay. Cool.
And the crowd is just chanting. Do you say anything to the crowd, Rutha?
Yes. She will turn. Sword at her side, shield at her other side. She'll just speak up. So let it always be. Let the small-minded, let the selfish, let the brutish fall, and may kindness, may fervor, may commitment to strength and honor be what wins the day. This, my companion, has quitted himself well. May we all strive beneath the sun's light, moon's light, and in the eye of the emperor to be so honorable. Raise the sword and let the light suffuse it again.
All right.
And stronger together.
And everyone, almost as if they were waiting for this cue, all raise their hands and shout at the same time, stronger together. And the emperor gets up from his chair and begins to make his way down towards the rest of you and says, yes, indeed, stronger together. And you know what we do with we all have these darkened parts. We all have what he represents inside of us. Do we let it lie in wait, rest, and eventually fester to rise once again? No. What we do with these base feelings is we put them to death. And he calls over to Jabber and says, Jabber, I believe we should finish this presentation. Oh, and if you don't mind, and he will actually go and help drag you up to your feet, Shaq, and say, let this happen to all who believe in the darkened parts of our hearts. And let this happen to all traitors. As he immediately casts overwhelming presence, I need everybody to make a will save.
What's the range on it?
That's the moon coming through. Natural 20.
Natural 1.
Okay.
Man, what is up with you and the will saves, dude? Good grief.
Oh, what is the range?
My save score is not even that bad, but...
24.
Anyone within 100, closer to 200 feet of him that he chooses.
Anyone?
That he chooses? So, yeah. Does he know Sindar's in the crowd?
Yes. He does.
Okay, 25.
25, okay.
Question. Would he know that Tanis is within 100 feet of his location?
He does not target Tanis, actually.
13.
Okay. And I just need to check one thing. Okay. So, who rolled below a 23?
Cone.
Shaq, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? All right. As those of you who watch the Emperor stand before Shaq, you watch as Shaq, you look up, and you see one of those that you had decried only seconds ago. You see a divine presence who stands before you. And you don't know how you didn't see it before. It's so obvious. And immediately your eyes go wide as you fall to the ground and prostrate yourself before the Emperor. Cone, you immediately also take two steps forward and seeing a glowing light that seems to fill yourself with wonder and dread all at the same time. As you also drop to a knee and prostrate yourself before the Emperor. Both of you are considered helpless, and you need to take a full round action in order to try to attempt a secondary saving throw.
Is Shaq allowed to speak?
Everyone, I don't believe so. Not based on the wording of the spell. Everyone else who he had targeted, you are staggered if you made your save. And he says, these here thought that they could turn against me, could bring my glorious reign to an end. And yet, their words and their actions seem to differ from that. And he looks over towards Yuko. He says, your gifts were wonderful, but you spent too long staying near my booth. If you had returned, perhaps I wouldn't have been suspicious. Even if you had been of a stronger will, your mind wouldn't have been an open book to me. I believe we will have a few other executions today. And at this point in time, those who are staggered, your round of staggered ends. And I believe this is where we will begin initiative next time.
Yeah, that's a good to be continued.
Yeah.
He got kind of suspicious when Kona was like, no, I'm just here to watch. And is like, I'm casting Detect Thoughts.
Nah.
And yeah.
Great.
He read Cone's mind and read Shaq's mind. Okay. And it was like, huh, what are you guys doing here? And it's like,
So, even, I'm assuming with the natural one, he was aware of Shaq's plan to...
Oh, yeah. He was.
Yeah.
During the monologuing, can Ruther... I don't remember if I've done this or not. Detect evil on the Emperor? Like, can we sense that here? In all of this?
If you have... I think, yeah, I would say that you would have the time.
Okay. So, detecting evil, please.
You find it.
Great.
And you could probably guess so, considering he was using the blood of his servants to paint on canvas.
Right, see? I just gotta...
Yeah.
Well, half the time when I go after something, it's just a creature rather than an actual evil monster, so...
He's
I gotta be sure about these
at
things.
Very least a human, so you're just like, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
so, yeah.
Very good to know, then. Awesome.
Yeah, this will be a very interesting fight starting next week.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, how many innocents are going to go down in the middle of this?
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and head out.
I feel like we need to just stop, like, planning, just do stuff, because plans just don't happen, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't work
very
out
close,
at all.
Guys.
That's not true. That's not entirely true. There's still room for things to happen the way we were hoping it would happen.
Yeah, I mean,
there's still
like
hundreds of people around.
You still, and also the guards are also stone drunk and are nowhere nearby.
Yes.
So right now it's just you and the Emperor. The Emperor still has a bit of additional strength, but it's just the king and his castle.
Right. And he's surrounded by people that are, I guess, on the sliding scale of support. Probably a little bit more in favor of the kind of message that we were championing there. I have to assume so anyway.
Oh yeah, you get the feeling that the crowd is definitely riled up.
Yeah.
At a word, they could go from a restless crowd to a mob.
Right. All right, cool.
So we do basically have them on our side.
You do.
Yes.
And that is a big plus, as the Emperor not only has to contend with you, he also has to contend with 300 people.
Right. Well, at least that part worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the other thing that's going to keep us from dying.
At the very least, I think Ruth is going to be able to say kind of straight up, she's going to face this evil down and do her best to help as many as she can in the process. There's no... poisons, no underhanded stuff, nothing against our compatriots, but at least it's been made a little more plain for her.
All right. Awesome. Cool. I look forward to it. And